The five revenue-producing Football Bowl Subdivision Conferences and Notre Dame have been granted the power to write many of their own rules, and there's nothing schools like UNLV and leagues like the Mountain West can do about it. Schools in the biggest conferences may now be able to offer stipends to scholarship athletes. Those stipends could be worth $2,000 to $5,000 per player. So how can UNLV compete with the richest football schools? UNLV Athletic Department administrators declined to comment on the new rules and their potential impact on the school's program. So we want to hear from you. Should UNLV drop football and move into a smaller basketball-only conference? Or should UNLV invest millions of dollars in an effort to join the Football Power Conference? Call us at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Or post a comment on our website, knprnews.org. We're also on Twitter at @knprnews. Joining us to discuss the future of UNLV's athletic program is Taylor Byrne, who covers college sports for the Las Vegas Sun. Taylor, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Ian.
So the NCAA recently approved changes to the rules governing athletics, giving the so-called Power Five conferences more say in how policies are written. So who are the Power Five conferences and what does autonomy mean in this context?
So yeah, it was a board of directors vote passed 16-2. Colonial and Ivy League were the only holdouts still hoping to keep things at the status quo. But the rest of the leagues kind of see what direction this thing was going. So it's the Big 12, SEC, Big 10, ACC and the Pac-12, plus, as you said, Notre Dame. And what they now have, it's not, you know, quote, a full autonomy, but they have discretion to basically create rules that would apply to only those five conferences and Notre Dame and not to the other teams, the UNLVs, Renos, Mountain West, Sun Belt, the other teams and leagues that are in Division One, but won't be playing by the same rules.
So why is this happening now?
It's been heading this way for a long time. Part of it, a lot of it, I think, has to do with the, quote, full cost of attendance scholarship. And so basically a full ride scholarship is what most people think of a Division I athlete getting. But there are still some extra costs to it. I mean, it's a lot of it's just day-to-day things, your gas, your car stuff. A full cost of attendance scholarship, which could cost an institution $2,000 to $5,000 more per athlete, that's now what these five conferences can vote to cover if they so choose, which is one of the things expected that they're going to vote to decide to pay for. And the other leagues simply, just barely trying to make any type of profit, probably can't afford that. They will have the decision to follow whatever rules those big five decide. But it's understood by the group at large that most of the other leagues, most of the other teams aren't going to be able to financially keep up with those decisions.
So when you say this is going to happen, we're going to end up with, what, a two-tier system of college athletics?
We're basically already there. I mean, if you want to break it down even more, I mean, there's Division I, Division II, Division III. So there were already divisions. And within Division I, I think there's been a pretty clear divide for a long time between the greatest revenue-producing leagues, mainly because of their TV deals and a lot of it based on football. It's amazing how little basketball, even at a program like University of Kansas, when Big 12 was looking to break up, they were left looking around because they don't have a great football program. It's those programs deciding the direction of things here. And there's already a divide between what UNLV was able to afford to do, what an Arizona was able to afford. And so this is just really bringing what was already kind of understood to the, laying it out on the table and making it more known and more clearly stated.
So how much more of a disadvantage will this put UNLV at?
Well, it kind of depends on what the rule changes end up being. There's a lot of talks. The vote was to give these leagues the ability to change the rules. It hasn't changed anything yet. They have to get together and decide what they're going to go with. And most of the speculation about what's going to change is all going to create even bigger recruiting advantages because it's going to be things where there's going to be almost no out-of-pocket costs for an athlete let's say an athlete coming out of Las Vegas is looking at maybe I want to go to UNLV, maybe I want to go to Arizona State. Okay. Both seem like pretty good programs for what I'm looking for, but at Arizona State, they're going to cover every cost. They're going to be able to pay for certain things that UNLV can't. They're going to be – the facilities are going to be better because this is going to create even more revenue for those programs. The food is probably going to be better. Unlimited snacks was another recent NCAA rule. But these higher revenue programs, you know, maybe you're looking at steak versus peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. That's sort of what they're facing down the road.
Also joining us in the studio is DJ Allen. He's now president of X's and O's for Success, but he was a former assistant athletic director at UNLV. DJ, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Ian. Excited to be here with you and Taylor.
So let's think about this. You have worked in the athletic department at UNLV. Can UNLV's athletic department compete under these new rules?
Well, they're going to have to. I mean, it's not a can. They have to. This is the new reality. A lot of people in the industry knew that it was going this way. But I think what really happens now is understanding what the expectations are. If you really look at who has a chance to be really hurt the most by these decisions and the way that the NCAA is going, it's programs like UNLV basketball. It's programs like a San Diego State basketball, where the fans, the Gonzagas, where the fans are used to saying, hey, we need to be among the top. And the reality is this is going to make them even more of an underdog. UNLV basketball, which we have a fan base here who kind of thinks it's a birthright to be in the top 10, you know, we're operating with a budget in the 80s already right now with basketball. And it's just going to make it that much harder and that much more difficult to be able to try to meet the expectations of the fans. So I'm very interested to see over the next few years what happens around the nations to the expectations of the fans of these schools that are going to be impacted the most.
Will the fans and the boosters be able to bridge that gap under these new rules? I mean, you said UNLV will have to compete.
That's a lot of bridging. When you're really looking at how important fundraising is going to be now to these schools, we were at NIU last week, just outside of Chicago. They're 72% funded by the school itself. And NIU is probably right now the premier non-top five conference football
team. That's Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois, I apologize. Yeah, they were in the Orange Bowl just a couple years ago. And they're looking at the same thing that a UNLV is looking at. Just saying, we need to protect that 72% funding that comes from the school itself, but we have to go back to our donors and get more and more. And if you look at where a school like UNLV needs to try to make up any ground, if it can, to pay for the steak or at least Sloppy Joe's instead of the peanut butter and jellies, it's going to have to come from the fundraising side of it. You know, you want to look at the growth that hopefully winning in football can do. And I know that's something that UNLV needs, but unfortunately, you look at some of the season ticket numbers from last year after a winning year, their first winning year in 10 years, and there wasn't, I mean, it's like a 3% growth in year to date. I mean, that's an opportunity to bridge that gap, but even that's something that is struggling with right now in this market.
So for people who don't know what 3% growth in subscriptions for season tickets means, I'm taking your body language here that this is really bad news, that it's going to be very hard for UNLV to compete financially.
Well, yes. And it's not just UNLV, but that's what we're talking about here. And you look at the basketball program. Obviously, football, getting them on campus and seeing the facilities. If you go around, this is about facilities with athletics. It's about what they're going to be able to eat. We're now recruiting where coaches can say, we have world-renowned chefs who are actually preparing. For some of these big schools, they're bringing in world-renowned chefs. And they have cafes open 24 hours. UNLV is not operating in that world. And I think one of the biggest things is we talk about being a multi-million-dollar business. This is a business. What business operates where 16 of 17 of your departments might lose money and you have to keep them? This is not big business. We have Title IX. You have a certain number of scholarships that you have to offer. There's not easy answers to this at all. And just 48, 96 hours after these judgments comes out, I don't think we know what's going to happen, but we have to be prepared to be very innovative.
We're talking about the future of UNLV football and the Mountain West Conference in the wake of recent NCAA rule changes. We're joined by Taylor Byrne, who reports on college athletics for the Las Vegas Sun, and DJ Allen, who's a former assistant athletic director at UNLV. If you're a UNLV fan, if you're one of those Run and Rebel fans that has really high expectations, as DJ was talking about, give us a call. Tell us what you think, what UNLV should do. What do you think the future of football and basketball is in the wake of these big rules changes that seem to put UNLV at such a disadvantage? The number, 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Or you can post your comment online at knprnews.org. Taylor, you cover UNLV Athletics and the Mountain West Conference, and UNLV declined to comment, saying it's too soon to know what's going to happen. But Mountain West Conference Commissioner Craig Thompson says he's unsure how the conference will fit into that new landscape. What do you think the future of the Mountain West Conference is?
Well, yeah, we got the chance to talk to Commissioner Craig Thompson 2 or 3 weeks ago at the Cosmo for the Mountain West Football Media Days, and the question was put to him, what recourse does the Mountain West or some of these other, you know, the smaller revenue leagues have if the NCAA, or sorry, if the, you know, the Big Five conferences decide to break? Said nothing. There's nothing that we can do. They are making the rules. We will figure out where we can fit in, because like DJ said, they can't keep up dollar for dollar. They haven't been keeping up dollar for dollar. That's never what this has been. And so the autonomy vote is essentially just going to create a wider gap there, create, in my opinion, a separate division within Division I. I think it's really only a PR decision for why they don't change the names of it. And I think that could end up coming, you know, eventually. But the Mountain West is basically along for the ride. Right now, they're hoping to still be, you know, a group of teams competing against, you know, the quote Big Five, because as it stands now, it's not like those teams are going to only play each other. They're just going to have slightly different and potentially very largely different rules that they're playing by. And so I think where we're eventually heading is that group is probably, in my opinion, going to break away from the NCAA entirely, because they just don't need it. But for now, until that day comes, and I think that's why most of the leagues voted to go ahead and give them the ability to make their own rules, Mountain West does not want that to happen. So they and the other leagues are trying to hold on to this, you know, current format as close as they can, and just see where they're able to maneuver and fit in.
So, DJ, is there a future for the Mountain West after the rules and the money have changed so much?
Well, they have to work together with the other leagues. Those five remaining leagues with the Mountain West, you have the American Athletic Conference, Conference USA, the Mid-American, the Sun Belt. They need to start talking. They need to be able to have a plan, because the big thing about this is you look at all these dollars, the rich do get richer, and so much of this is about TV dollars. And the individual contracts that those remaining schools have, particularly on the football side, football drives everything. And that's what's tough for us to realize here in Vegas. You talked about with Kansas, Taylor, when they were going to get left off the table. You know, I think that's when it really hit me that, yeah, this is all about football. But those
we've been trying to build our football program here at UNLV for, what, many years, let's put it politely, and nothing much has seemed to happen. Is this going to just make it impossible?
Well, it's I don't know if impossible is the word. I think what Bobby has done with the team here, it has really been amazing. Because if you look at the facilities that UNLV has, and for what he inherited, it's a culture. We talked about that for so long. This wasn't about Bobby trying to change this in 2 or 3 years. This was about a culture that's been created by our community. It's been a culture that's been created by our system of regents being elected, that they're elected and they cover the whole state. I mean, there are a lot of reasons. There are a lot of variables. There are a lot of agendas with leadership of higher education in this state that have led us up to the point where UNLV never maximized its potential. And now, unfortunately, when it's all breaking loose, all of our sins from the past 3 decades, we're paying for them.
Now, DJ, I mean, often in college sport, it's about recruiting. I mean, who can get the best players out of high school? What would you do if you were back in the athletic department trying to get new players? How would you recruit them? What can UNLV offer? Is there any alternative strategy that you can employ, a kind of new money ball skill?
I think basketball has the biggest opportunity. And the number one reason is the Mendenhall Center that was built. This is a facility-driven. Recruiting is very much about facilities. Dave Rice and his team have absolutely, they probably maximize their potential on recruiting better than any program in the nation right now. They have a facility that they can walk in kids into and say, this is going to be your home for the next 4 years. That's powerful. The problem is now in football is you don't have that. You do not have this at all. So basketball has a chance. But really, you know, what you can do, it still has to be playing time. I mean, the number one thing that student athletes want is playing time. basketball has a chance because of the facility, because of the aggressiveness of this staff and recruiting, but also because the high recruits out there know that, hey, I play the four. I know that this team has a four-star or five-star power forward. I want to go get playing time over here. Taylor earlier mentioned PR. The minute that it becomes a brand that UNLV or any other program is a step down, that's when you're really going to have issues. And we've been able to dodge that with basketball, and hopefully we still can.
Well, let's think about that question we posed at the beginning of the segment. Should UNLV just forget about football and move to a basketball-only league?
It's too early for that, in my opinion. I would have said until last week, don't ever think about that. I've had people tell me that for years and years and years. We just need to be Gonzaga. Well, Gonzaga is a private Jesuit school, right? I mean, there are not many state schools. Well, we could be Long Beach. Well, we want to be better than Long Beach. But now I think we got to see where this is going to play out. UNLV has to think transformationally, have great vision, great leadership, and hopefully UNLV and the Mountain West will take the lead. Instead of just being reactive, we can take the lead with the other four leagues and really decide what's going to happen, because it's so important to the city and it's so important to so many people who live in this great state.
Taylor, you seem to be a little more decided about how this is going to go than DJ was. Is it too early for UNLV to say we ought to just play to our strength and get into a basketball league, forget about football?
Well, I mean, that, like DJ said, that's a conversation that's going on for a long time. I don't think right now is the time. If you were going to drop football at UNLV, you should have done it before now, because right now there is uncertainty. You're kind of waiting things out. And the other part of this is the, you know, mentioned facilities. This is a facilities-driven business. Well, still trying to get a stadium built here. If you get something like that, it doesn't necessarily matter if the football team is great at the time. A facility like that can sustain success in other teams' eyes. The Big Five, as it is now, that's not like a hard line. There's room for teams to drop out of that. There's room for teams to move into that. If you can show that we are committed to football, we have, you know, look at this, we have these things moving forward, we can build on this, we can grow, there's a chance for certain teams to move in to that group, because it's about TV deals, it's about TV markets. Las Vegas is a market. That's one.
So we could see these leagues shuffling and reshuffling.
Absolutely. And that's what they've been doing for the past 5 years. And this vote alone does not, you know, draw a hard line between the Power Five and everybody else. There is going to be shuffling, because a lot of the teams that are on the outside currently looking in are trying to figure out, how do we become a part of that? And for UNLV, that's how do we make our football team, our football, and it's not the team, it's our football program, relevant moving forward.
Okay, in the few minutes we've got left, I just want to wrap it up with this question. It's no coincidence that several of these new rules give athletes more benefits. I mean, the stipends and the full-ride scholarships we were talking about. How at risk are college athletics from the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit? That's the Northwestern Union movement, and even congressional investigations into the NCAA. Are we watching the demise of the NCAA here?
If you would have said 20 years ago that coaches in 2014 were going to be paid $5, $6, $7 million a year, I think we would have sat here and said that's going to be the demise of college athletics. It hasn't been. What has happened is the pie has gotten so big, and the college athletes who they do get good things. They get education. They get amazing experiences. I think there needs to be a balance. Again, this is not purely a big business. Because as much as we talk about the footballs and the basketballs, we have the other sports that are not revenue generating, and it costs just as much to send them to school, those student athletes. It costs just as much to put them on a plane and fly them somewhere else. I think it's just that athletes, we're going to divide that pie a little bit differently. The O'Bannon lawsuit, that's about the likeness. I mean, that's not a pay for play. Did that probably lead to a lot of this discussion? Yes. And I think all of this needs to be sorted out. But if we simply say this is a big business and a big business only, we're wrong. And it will lead to the demise of it. But if we step back and say just like the commercials say, less than 99% of these student athletes are not going pro. I know it's true though. Until I worked inside the athletic department, I didn't believe it. But once you worked inside the athletic department, you realize almost 95% of what goes on does not generate revenue. And on the outside, we like to focus on that little percentage that does.
So, Taylor, is it all about the money or is there much more to it?
I agree with about half of what DJ said as far as the, look, they are getting an education. The kids who take advantage of that, it is a tremendous opportunity. But the problem here is that the NCAA is so hypocritical of itself. And, look, they don't want to pay for play. And yet, a recent example, Florida State is allowed to pay $60,000 towards Jameis Winston's insurance. Okay, so you're paying something that would have been out of pocket for his parents. And now he does. Oh, okay. And that's allowed under certain things. The NCAA is getting hit from all sides and does not have answers. They are going to, in 5 to 10 years, the NCAA will not look anything close to what we see it as today. And I do think that part of that is going to be really sad because there are a lot of kids that benefit from that in those non-revenue sports. The problem is the revenue has become such a behemoth that has to be taken care of, and I'm not sure what's going to happen to the rest.
Well, obviously many more developments coming in college athletics and the way we see UNLV in the future. DJ Allen is president of X's and O's for Success and a former assistant athletic director at UNLV, and Taylor Byrne covers college sport for the Las Vegas Sun. Gentlemen, thanks.
Thank you, Ian.
You're welcome.